Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, March 10th, 2016. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. And how are you, Dave?
I am well. Thanks for having me back on the show.
It's always great to have you here. And John Martellaro, it's always great to have you too. How are you today?
I am fired up and here.
Awesome. That's great. Also awesome, our sponsor this week, Casper, the mattress company. I'm really, really happy that they're sponsoring us. I feel really close to these people because it's almost like I sleep with them every night. I use one of their mattresses. We'll talk about them soon. But before we get to that, we have some brand new news that came up, just right before we started recording. And this is the media invite that Apple sent out for a special event that they are hosting on March 21st. Is that right?
It is Monday, March 21st. So that's a week from this coming Monday.
Yeah. And so sticking true to form, they are cutting it kind of close for people that need to get flights out to the event. And the tagline that went out with their event is, "Let us loop you in." So right now, what we know is they have a nice pastel-colored graphic, that tagline, and March 21st.
Yeah, well, and a location, right? Because it's at their Cupertino campus, which, as most Apple fans and listeners know, the address of which is on Infinite Loop. So by inviting people to Infinite Loop, that may be all there is to the Let Us Loop You In. Or there might be more.
That's true. Do you have any ideas on what that might be that you're willing to share?
I have all kinds of ideas. I'm always willing to share my ideas. I don't have anything private that I or confidential that I can't share. Apple doesn't tend to share that stuff with me. But, the smaller iPhone, right, and new iPads have been on the horizon. Maybe new Apple Watch bands, but it would seem, and there's, we have the Milanese Loop there, but that seems weird to hang an entire event's title on a new watch band. Not that their margins on those aren't huge, maybe this is a good cash grab.
I'm not thinking that there will be a new watch, however. I think that's coming later in the year.
I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah. Although anything's possible.
Anything.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything we haven't heard enough about a new watch that I agree with you. I don't think it's
Here's my list. It's an iPad Pro 9. Some sort of naming convention to distinguish it from the regular iPad Pro. And the articles I've seen, and I agree, are suggesting that the iPad line is best served by associating it with a well-selling professional device like the 12.9-inch iPad Pro. And on my list is whether it's going to be an iPhone 5SE, which is a funny name, or a 6C, which I tend to go with.
Oh, I think it's definitely a 6-something, John.
6C or a 6SE, but it's not going to be a 5 because that's too far a throwback.
Yeah, well,
I see 5SE thrown around too much.
Yeah, and I always think of the number of the device as the generation of it, not having anything to do with size, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it certainly there has been a size correlation, but to me, everything we know about this thing is that the guts will be mostly 6-like. Mm-hmm. And it's just that the size will be mostly 5-like. So
6C or 6SE makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, going with a 5.
6 mini.
Oh, man.
Hey, you laugh. I'm putting my mark on that one right now. The iPhone 6 mini. That'll be it. Because we do it with the iPad.
Yeah, we've done it with the Mac.
With the iPod. Remember the famous iPod mini that everybody wanted?
And Mac. That's true. I think it's the iPhone 6 mini.
Well, there you go. And yeah. Dave, when it turns out that's what it really is called, we're going to start all these rumors about how you have all these inside sources and they're whining and dining you. And it's the rumors are going to be awesome.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I want to put an ad in here for my fantasy too. There's going to be a lot going on at WWDC as usual, and Swift 3 and all the other things that they do. And typically not a lot of hardware is introduced, although the Mac Pro was introduced at WWDC 2013. But maybe this would be a good time to also introduce the new generation Mac Pro. I'm just crossing my fingers. Just fantasizing.
Yeah, we can live in hope, John.
Yeah, I know.
My hope is that soon we get an updated MacBook Pro. That's what I need. It's not going to happen on the 21st, though. Maybe WWDC. Yeah. So, yeah, there's not much else we know about that right now, except that it's coming up. So, there you go. I think
Are you thinking there'll be any HealthKit initiatives?
No.
No. I don't think. I mean, I think there might be. I think if we see changes to HealthKit, A, they would talk more about those at WWDC. If it's, you know, API developer styled changes. But I think they've spent a lot of their social time, their PR time rather, on HealthKit. I don't know that they need to circle back to that right now.
Yes. And my expectation is that the next time we get any sort of significant change to HealthKit is going to be when we get an Apple Watch that has more health and fitness tracking features than the current model does.
That makes sense. Yeah, they don't need to talk about HealthKit all by itself anymore. Now it's this thing, and hey, it ties into that. It ties into this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to circle back to the iPhone 6C. I've seen
two. You mean the iPhone
iPhone 6C, iPhone Mini. Yes. I've seen two interesting concepts. One is, you know, everybody waits in the fall for the new phone to come out. So if it's in August, you're not going to buy a new phone. You're going to wait till September, and then you buy your phone in September, or you buy it in the Christmas quarter, and things kind of fall flat in Apple's second fiscal quarter, January, February, March. And that would be a good time of year for Apple to annually introduce a new generation small phone to kind of even out the cash flow and stop these expectations of, you know, huge spike in the Christmas quarter and then sales fall flat. So if Apple can introduce a new 4-inch phone every year, that would kind of tend to even out the distribution and keep the sales on a growth path. The second interesting concept I've seen is that there are, I think this was, well, I don't remember the name, but the author suggested that there are so many iPhones out there, and the market is so large that, just like with the iPod we were talking about, Apple needs to have more products for more people for more needs, because the market has broadened so much. And smaller phones is something that kind of complements that, fills out the line. The way Apple did with the iPod line, it kind of fills in the gaps, fills in the price points, makes something available for everybody, because there's lots of people out there who want lots of different things. So those are the two interesting concepts, and I kind of like those ideas.
Yeah, my concern is Apple going down the path of Performa Quadra Centris LC and creating an incredibly confusing product line. I hope they don't do that.
We're nudging down that path already.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've lost hold of that simplicity of the, you know, the four quadrants of Macs that we all really.
Yeah, but I would argue, Dave, that 2x2 matrix from Steve, you know, the Mac. Professional and personal, was designed specifically to rebuild the company, to
Correct.
Refocus on the product line. And that was a concept from 20 years ago.
Yep. No, it's true.
No longer applicable.
Is it no longer applicable? I mean, there's...
It can't be a company of Apple's size and scope and revenue today with four product matrix.
No, I'm not suggesting that they stay with four products. I'm suggesting that they stay with the gestalt of that and really only release those things that make absolutely perfect sense. And what that means is not a device for everyone.
Well, that's, you know, the, right. That's the point this article was making, was is that when you have a broader customer base, there are lots of different kinds of people now who weren't customers before who want things. And if you're going to sustain growth, you have to fill in those gaps.
Now you're talking like every other technology company, not like Apple.
Well, but, you know, there's reasons why companies do the things that they do as they grow.
Oh, I know there are reasons. I'm just saying that
Apple's doing it, so it must be right, right?
No, that's the thing is, somebody asked me the other day, are we beginning to see the signs, or are we now seeing the signs of Steve Jobs without Apple, or Apple without Steve Jobs, sorry. And I think this is one of them, right? You know, it's like, well, we need to cater to this customer, we need to cater to that customer. And that was never the concern of Steve Jobs. It was, what is the best thing that we can do that we believe in, and let's put it out there. And the right products will attract customers. Not every single person on the planet as a customer, but the right products will attract customers. And that's how they, like you said, that's how they rebuilt this company. But it's also how they built it from the ground up. It was, don't ask people what they want. They don't know.
Apple didn't have a whole lot of competitors in the old days, except power computing, remember?
What? They had every computer that runs any operating system other than Mac OS or OS X, depending on what year we're arguing about.
The point I'm trying to make is that Apple has a whole lot of new competitors that they didn't have before. And so the idealistic days when Apple could be pure and come out with, you know, one new Mac and iPad and MacBook and just be, you know, gloriously simple, those days are gone. And everybody on the planet wants to take a piece out of Apple, whether it's a watch or whether it's a health monitoring or whether it's an iPhone. So Apple has to be more flexible, more aggressive, and please more people as the 250 billion dollars a year annual revenue or something like that. As the huge company that they are, they have to bring to bear a lot of products to please a lot of people. It's just part of being a big company. And it's probably introducing some naming conventions that are annoying us.
This is just so weird to hear you say these things, John.
I know. It's like, how quickly we forget the Performa days. I understand.
But that was part of a failed management process.
And I think this is too.
Naming conventions do not imply failed management. The failed management generally
is sizes of iPhone
performance.
We don't need three sizes of iPhone.
I'll tell you, when my wife went from her 5S to her 6S, we made a quantum leap there. Mm-hmm. She was annoyed with the size of the 6S. I wanted her to have a 6S because I wanted her to partake in Apple Pay and all the latest technologies, you know, sure. Touch ID and so on. So here's
the thing.
She doesn't like that bigger phone.
Even two sizes of iPhone is arguably too big, too much, right? I mean, mm-hmm. but there's an argument to be made there, and I get it because I actually prefer the larger size, but I totally understand why. In fact, most people probably would not. But if Apple's having trouble deciding which size makes sense for a normal iPhone, we'll call the plus size iPhone large iPhones, right? Mm-hmm. So there's normal and there's large. We don't need small, medium, and large, because now, I mean, what
Apple
happens
thinks they do. Apple's going to do this.
What happens with developers? I don't see this as a good idea.
We already have the iOS infrastructure in place for a 4-inch display. So there's,
I know. No. Yeah, I feel like Apple is punting on this one. They are leaving, not deciding what the right size is.
I think they're going to sell a whole lot of these 6Cs. Remember how everybody had a bad attitude towards the 5C? And then it turned out we didn't know until later that, actually, it sold really well.
Sold really well, yeah.
Yeah, it did.
But the size wasn't different. That was a phone with a built-in case. That's not that big of a surprise that people like that, because, hey, guess what? Everybody puts a case on their phone.
Well, Dave, you sound like the, if I may say so politely, sir, my best friend. You sound like those people who say that, oh, this product from Apple isn't going to do well. They didn't do any market research. They don't understand the feedback from their customers. They're not a wise pundit like I am, who writes for such and such magazine. Oh, and Apple's going to fail. I'm telling you right now, Apple's going to sell a whole boatload of these 6Cs.
I agree with you there. Apple will sell a whole boatload of these. I just don't think it's good for the platform long term for Apple to punt on this decision.
No, they're not punting. They're exploiting a market opportunity.
Yeah, but that's not
putting my Apple hat on here.
That's not what Apple should do. Exploiting a market opportunity is not the same thing as creating the best product and creating the right product.
When you've been blasted for the last 3 months for the iPhone sales plateauing.
Well, see, that's a different Apple, though. Here's the thing, right? You know, when what's the right way to ask this? Apple did not build their company catering to the wishes of Wall Street. In fact, they did it by doing exactly the opposite. They ignored Wall Street. They focused on their own R&D, and they put stuff out there. If you are right that this decision is based on either what customers are asking for or Wall Street, even worse, is asking for, then yes, we are seeing a very different Apple than
I don't think
that would be a precedent I don't want to see.
No, I don't. Correct. I don't believe that at all. They don't respond to Wall Street. What they respond to?
You just said they got blasted for not having having flat sales.
Well,
not having flat sales.
They look at that and they say, "Well, why is that happening?" And it's because there are markets we're not exploiting. People are begging us. Remember how people begged Apple for a phablet?
Hey, yeah.
Jeff, use the word phablet. Doink, doink. And then Apple said, "We're not building." Phil Schiller said, "We're not building what people want." So right. You look, there's probably an Excel, there's probably a spreadsheet on Tim Cook's iMac that tells him that this is what customers are demanding. This is what their market search says and market research. And so they're going to fulfill this need and make some money. And I don't see any problem with that.
I do. I fundamentally
I'm concerned.
Do. Yep.
Yeah. I don't want to see Apple be like Samsung in the sense that Samsung just keeps making different product, and just throwing all this stuff out on the market, different sizes, different configurations. You go into a phone store and you don't even, it's so hard to figure out which Samsung phone is which and what yep. features you're getting. It's like the Performa all over again.
Apple's an international company. They sell phones just about every country on the planet. And we can't look at it from a U.S. perspective alone, too. There might be market segments that are really anxious and eager to have these smaller phones again for various social reasons, and Apple's exploiting that, too.
Yeah, it could be. But, hey, John, we are almost out of time. So I'm just going to have to cut off our discussion, as much as I'm enjoying it. Because
It was fun.
But I also want to talk about Casper before we have to wrap up. And Casper, in case this is the first time you've ever heard Daily Observations, Casper is a company that makes the mattress that I love, love, love. What they did was they figured out the right types of foam to put together in the right combination to make a mattress that's awesome. And I was sleeping on a good mattress before I got my Casper, and I was tracking all my sleep patterns because it's no secret I don't sleep well. So when I got my Casper and started sleeping on that, I was tracking my sleep patterns still, and I was able to see a quantitative change in quality. My sleep patterns have improved, and I sleep better most every night on my Casper mattress. And the only thing that changed between my bad sleep and my better sleep was the mattress. So I'm pretty confident in saying, because I have a Casper mattress, I don't have nearly as bad sleep issues as I had before. I'm sleeping so much better, and I'm so much happier for it. And I would love all of you to be able to sleep happy, just like I do. So you need to check out what they have. They make mattress sizes from twin all the way up to king size. And pricing starts at $500, tops out at $950. And what you're getting for that money is so much more than you would get if you went to, say, a mattress company down the street. Because Casper doesn't have to build in the overhead costs that go along with having shops, with having extra inventory that just sits around waiting for people to buy. They can keep the costs lower. So they do. I bought a queen size mattress. It's $850, but you can get it for $800 instead. So what you do is you go to the Casper website, casper.com/TDO. When you go to that special link that lets them know that you heard about the mattresses here on this show, then use the discount code TDO and you're going to get $50 off. Plus, your mattress is shipped to you for free. So you could get the queen size mattress that I have. Instead of $850, it's going to cost you $800 delivered right to your door. That's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And from the time you get the mattress to the time you can start sleeping on it, probably about 5 minutes, depending on how long it takes you to actually put sheets on your bed. It's amazing. It's not like you have to go through this extended setup process and wait a couple days. No, pull it out of the box. It magically, and it is like magic, magically becomes the size mattress it's supposed to be, and you're done, just like that. So go hit their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself $50 off an amazing mattress so you can start sleeping better, just like I do. And Casper, thank you for being our sponsor. So I was planning on doing more topics today, but we ended up with such a fun, interesting discussion that I just let us go. So we're pretty much out of time. We're going to have to wrap up now. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. I'm sorry we didn't get to go more. That's why we'll be here tomorrow.
That's right. So tune in tomorrow and see what we didn't get to hit today. Yeah. John, thank you for being here.
I'll see you tomorrow, Dave.
All right. Well, listeners, thank you for joining us yet again. And like I said, head over to the Casper website, casper.com/TDO. Pick yourself up a mattress that's awesome, that you're going to love, and use the discount code TDO to get $50 off. It's a wonderful thing. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.